that have been confirmed. Monkeypox is a DNA virus that is in the orthopox virus family. It's actually related to smallpox, but not as dangerous. So some key differences to know is that, first of all, it is a DNA virus. And whereas with SARS-CoV-2, which had 30,000 RNA codes, basically, the monkeypox is a double-stranded DNA virus, and it's much larger. It has 200,000 base pairs, so much larger virus. So probably more pairs to sequence and probably more genes to sequence as well. It's probably been infecting humans for a very, very long time, but it was first isolated in 1958 in crab-eating macaques. These are like monkeys, and that's where the name monkeypox kind of stuck. Now, it made its jump into humans, at least that we could see, in the Democratic Republic of Congo in the 1970s. That's the Central African Republic. And as you can see here from this webpage, which we'll put a link in the description below, the Democratic Republic of Congo is where this was first discovered. And this is where we see the Central African strain of the monkeypox virus. Now, there is a West African strain, which you can see here in these other countries in West Africa. And that's important to understand because the death rate from infection from the Central African strain is 10%, whereas the West African strain is about 1% to 3%. And at least early on now, as we're looking at these viral infections in the UK, the United States, they seem to be related more to the West African strain. The other thing that's really important to understand is that even though it has the word monkey in the name monkeypox, it's kind of a misnomer because actually these types of infections come from any small African mammals and rodents. And that was highlighted with the recent outbreak about 20 years ago in the United States. And let's talk about that, and that'll set the stage for where we are right now. So back in January of 2004, there was a paper that was published in The Lancet Infectious Diseases titled Human Monkeypox, an Emerging Zoonosis. And zoonosis is simply a disease that comes from animals. And let's read this abstract here because I think it's really interesting. Human monkeypox, it says here, is a rare viral zoonosis endemic to Central and Western Africa that has recently emerged in the United States. Of course, this was published about 20 years ago. Laboratory diagnosis is important because the virus can cause disease that is clinically indistinguishable from other pox-like illnesses, particularly smallpox and chickenpox. Although the natural animal reservoir of the monkeypox virus is unknown, rodents are the probable source of its introduction into the USA. A clear understanding of the virulence and transmissibility of human monkeypox has been limited by inconsistencies in epidemiological investigations. Monkeypox is the most important orthopox virus infection in human beings since the eradication of smallpox in the 1970s. We'll pause there. Understand that the eradication of smallpox in the 1970s was mostly in part due to vaccines. And as you'll see later, it was those vaccines that also had an import in reduction of monkeypox. Let's go on. There is currently no proven treatment for human monkeypox, and questions about its potential as an agent of bioterrorism persist. So the good news is that scientists have been looking at this particular virus for some time, and they've understood quite a bit about it. This is unlike what happened 2 years ago when we were looking at the brand new virus of SARS-CoV-2. Also interesting here is that there was the specter raised of this virus being used as bioterrorism. So we'll get into the symptoms in a little bit, but I wanted to take you back to the year 2003 because it was this year that there was an outbreak in the United States of monkeypox. And this was because of animals that were transported from endemic region of Central Africa that was transported and was brought into the United States and caused animal-to-human infections. And there was a study that was done looking at those of the ones that had medical records. 34 of them were researched, and they were found in almost every case to have a rash that progressed to a raised lesion. that progressed to a pustular lesion, as we'll show some pictures of later. And that lasted, encrusted over, and took about 2 to 3 weeks for that to completely go away. This would show up on the trunk of the body, that's a central portion, then go to the arms, even the palms and soles, and then crust over after a long period of time. There was further investigation done during this time to see just how far this infection had gone. And what was interesting is that they had picked up on a number of people, in this case, particularly 3 individuals, that were positive for the antibodies against monkeypox, but never knew that they had symptoms. And what it came out was, is that they had actually been vaccinated against smallpox. And get these years here, this is really interesting. One of them was 13 years prior. Another one was 29 years prior to the infection with the monkeypox. And another individual, 48 years prior, was vaccinated with smallpox vaccine. And that seemed to confer protection against symptomatic monkeypox disease. So as you can see, this is going to be an important discussion when we talk about treatment and prevention here at the end. But let's talk about what are the symptoms of monkeypox and what you would do to look for those. So when they looked at the outbreak in 2003 in the United States, they noticed that those that had the monkeypox virus had a rash 97% of the time, fever 85% of the time, chills 71% of the time, enlarged lymph nodes 71% of the time, headaches 65% of the time, and muscle aches 56% of the time. And here you can see what the progression of the skin lesions look like as posted here by the UK Health Security Agency. Early on, this is about a 3 millimeter diameter vesicle. It looks like it's fluid filled, it's raised. Here it turns into a small pustule, about 2 millimeters in diameter. You can see here this is an umbilicated, which means it looks like there is an umbilicus in the center of it. This is a pustule about 3 to 4 millimeters in diameter. Here it's ulcerated where the actual lesion has gone down in the center. This is about 5 millimeters in diameter. Here we have some encrusting of a mature lesion. And then finally here, what we call a desquamative reaction where the skin comes off the top and it's partially removed scab. So this is the type of lesions that we would see, and there would be multiple of these. Okay, let's talk about how this virus gets transmitted now. And classically, there are 2 ways that this can be transmitted. There it's through humans and through animals. And of course, close contact, touching sores, especially if they're open, or even touching the clothes that the patient was wearing and picking it up from there. In terms of animals, it would be much of the same, so close contact, but also biting and scratching, or even eating the meat of those animals. And we're talking about small animals like rodents, prairie dogs, things of that nature. Now, in terms of incubation, that's another issue, and it may depend on the mode of transmission. For instance, it would be shorter incubation period if it was something like scratching or biting, and it's been set up to 9 days. So for biting and scratching, 9-day incubation period before you would start to actually see this. That's quite a long period of time. The touching, however, can be up to 13 days, even longer. Now, classically, the R-naught that we've been talking about for some time in terms of transmission from coronavirus can be above 1 or 2. Generally speaking, for monkeypox, it's somewhere between 0 and 1, which means that these outbreaks tend to fizzle out because the person can not always reliably transmit this virus because it's obvious when the person has the virus and it's easy to isolate these patients. What's notable here, and that you should understand, is that large respiratory droplets have also been implicated in the transmission from human to human of monkeypox. And specifically, it's not like it would be with measles or even SARS-CoV-2, but for instance, if you are within 6 feet of somebody, you would have to be there for at least 3+ hours to have reliable transmission. This is classically what is being noticed. This is classically what is being observed. What's different now is we're starting to see more and more patients becoming infected. and specifically in a population in the UK that is a population of men having sex with men. But that's not all. There was also a report of a sauna outbreak of monkeypox. Let's take a look at those reports at this point. As you can see here in this article that we'll put a link to in the description below, the majority of the UK cases have been detected in gay and bisexual men, leading the UK Health Security Agency to advise gay and bisexual men to be aware of any unusual rashes or lesions. But in this article that we'll put a link to, in Spain, it seems as though most of the cases there in Spain were linked to a sauna. It says here that monkeypox cases in Spain have been linked to a super spreader event at an adult sauna in Madrid. Britain's monkeypox tally now stands at 20 after 11 fresh cases were announced on Friday and contact tracing and quarantine of close contacts is underway. Enrique Ruiz Escudero, the region's cabinet minister for health of the community, said on Friday that health officials had traced many of Spain's 30 monkeypox cases to a single sauna in the capital. While in Belgium, three cases have been linked to a large-scale fetish festival in Antwerp, according to organizers. Also in the article, it reported that in the UK, a link was first drawn between gay men and monkeypox earlier in the week, with the UK Health Security Agency urging men who have sex with men to be alert for any new rashes or lesions on their body, including their genitalia. And you can see in the article here a nice picture of what these pustules look like and what cells infected with the virus look like as well. Okay, let's talk about treatment. So generally speaking, the treatment for monkeypox is really supportive care. That means if there's nausea and vomiting, you make sure that they are well hydrated and don't become dehydrated. You make sure that their electrolytes are replaced. And if this is done, most people recover. That being said, there are antiviral treatments. The first one is tecovirimat, 600 milligrams orally twice daily, generally speaking for 14 days. Now, this is FDA approved for smallpox, and it was FDA approved in July of 2018. So this would be considered off-label for monkeypox, but it seems to work very well in both situations. And the mechanism of this drug is that it prevents the formation of a very important protein in the virus that makes it infectious and able to infect other cells in the patient. The next antiviral medication, brincidofovir, at 200 milligrams orally, weekly, times two doses. This was FDA approved for smallpox as well. This one was in June of 2021. The last one is cidofovir, but the issue with this one is that it's not really approved for smallpox or even monkeypox, but rather CMV retinitis. And the problem with it can cause problems with the kidneys. In fact, there's a black box warning on that one, so be cognizant of that. Now, the thing you should also know is that you can't really get these medications from pharmacists because the drug companies will only distribute this to the U.S. Department of Defense and or the CDC. And so these medicines are going to be coordinated with any particular smallpox outbreak, or in this case, monkeypox outbreaks. So let's talk about vaccines for monkeypox. And to do that, you're going to have to understand a little bit about the history of vaccines in terms of monkeypox over the last decade or so. So one of the things that you're going to have to understand is ACAM 2000 and JYNNEOS. So these are the two vaccines that have been on center stage for the last two decades. ACAM 2000 was a vaccine that was approved in 2007, and it was at its core a replication-competent vaccinia virus, which means that it actually did replicate inside of the human cells where the vaccine was given, and it caused what they call here a take, So you knew that the virus had taken hold and it was going to create the antibodies that were necessary for the patient who took the vaccine to get the appropriate antibodies to protect them from monkeypox and also smallpox. However, because it was replication competent, in other words, it could replicate, there were risks of inadvertent inoculations and auto-inoculation. There were risks of serious adverse events, particularly myopericarditis, in 5.7 per 1,000 primary vaccinees. Now, the effectiveness of this was good compared to the one that was prior to this in 2007, which was Dryvax. That was the standard prior to 2007, which is when ACAM 2000 was FDA approved. And the way that this was administered was in the skin by multiple puncture techniques in a single dose. In September of 2019, there was approved Jynneos. Now, this is also a vaccinia vaccine. Specifically, it's a replication-deficient modified vaccinia Ankara. And what that means is simply that the vaccine contains a virus that does not replicate. And so because it does not replicate, that reduces the risk of a lot of the side effects that they saw with ACAM 2000. So there is no, quote, take after the vaccination. You don't see a lesion in the area where the vaccination was given. There's no risk, therefore, of inadvertent inoculation and auto-inoculation. They expect there to be fewer adverse serious events with this replication-deficient modified vaccinia Ankara. And the cardiac adverse events are believed to be lower than that of the previous vaccine, which was the ACAM 2000. And the way that this is administered, as you can see here, is subcutaneously in two doses, 28 days apart. And I'm taking this from a screenshot from a CDC presentation, which I'll put a link to, which was over an hour long and spoke specifically into the particulars of these two vaccines. Now, if you're wondering how they came up with the efficacy for the new non-replicating vaccine, Jynneos, they say here in this FDA news release about how they did that. And because there was already a gold standard vaccine, they weren't going to do a randomized placebo-controlled trial because that would be unethical to give anybody a placebo to see if that was going to work. And so what they did was something called a non-inferiority study, where they gave half of the participants the old vaccine and half the new vaccine. And in this case, they looked at the immune response in both, and they were found to say, quote, the group vaccinated with Jynneos had an immune response that was not inferior to the immune response to ACAM 2000. They also say that vaccine effectiveness for the prevention of smallpox was also inferred from supportive animal studies that showed prior vaccination with Jynneos protected non-human primates who were exposed to viruses related to the smallpox virus. And of course, there's more to the story than just effectiveness. We also want to know about safety. And this is their statement. The safety of Jynneos was assessed in more than 7,800 individuals who received at least one dose of the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effects were pain, redness, swelling, itching, firmness at the injection site, muscle pain, headache, and fatigue. No safety concerns would require a medication guide that had been identified for Jynneos, and Jynneos is administered in two doses given 4 weeks apart. Okay, so what happens if you think you've been exposed? What is it that you could potentially do after you've been exposed to the virus to prevent it from actually causing disease? Well, the first thing that you can do is actually get something called vaccinia immunoglobulin. And this is what people who are immunocompromised might need to do. Basically, these are antibodies that are derived from either patients who have had the infection in the past, or they are genetically engineered to be antibodies against vaccinia, which will cross-react and also go against the monkeypox virus. However, the CDC recommends even up to 14 days post-exposure, you can actually take the vaccine. But generally, that is for immunocompetent patients. And as you can imagine, because of the effectiveness of this monkeypox vaccine, the United States, which does not produce this vaccine, is placing a $119 million order for 13 million freeze-dried monkeypox vaccines. And you can see here that it's made by the company Bavarian Nordic. which is a biotech company. And I'd just like to say that I have no financial interest whatsoever in this company or any other vaccine company. And of course, we'll put links in the description below to all of these articles that we cite in this video. And at the time of this recording, we are getting news reports of new monkeypox viral cases in New York City and also in Israel. At this point, it's unclear exactly what we can do to prevent this other than avoiding people with monkeypox, if we can identify who they are. But it shouldn't be lost that obviously a good immune system is going to be helpful in preventing the worst types of monkeypox clinical symptoms. And this paper here published back in 2008 titled Monkeypox Virus Evades Antiviral CD4 Positive and CD8 Positive T-Cell Responses by Suppressing Cognate T-Cell Activation is a reminder that most viral issues with the human body become issues because the viruses are able to suppress our immune system. According to this abstract, although monkeypox virus-specific CD4 positive and CD8 positive T cells could recognize the vaccinia virus-infected monocytes and produce inflammatory cytokines such as interferon gamma and tumor necrosis factor alpha, they were largely incapable of responding to autologous monkeypox virus-infected cells. Now, I wanted to talk to you about the strain of the monkeypox that is growing out now compared to the outbreak that was seen in the United Kingdom, Singapore, and Israel in 2018 and 2019. There's an article here that shows that there is a draft sequence of the virus, and it's kind of a general draft sequence, so they can look at it to see if there's anything that has looked like what they're currently seeing right now. And the title of this article, which we'll put a link to in the description below, is First Monkeypox Genome from Latest Outbreak Shows Links to the 2018 Strain. And they say here that the draft sequence of the virus responsible for the rapidly growing monkeypox outbreak shows that it is most closely related to strains detected in the UK, Singapore, and Israel in 2018 and 2019. However, it goes on and says, what isn't clear yet, however, is whether or not the virus has any changes that make it more transmissible in humans, which could explain why the current outbreak is so widespread and by far the largest seen outside of Central and West Africa, where the virus spreads in monkeys. This could take some time to establish, given that monkeypox has a large and complex genome. So I would recommend, once again, that this is a struggle to make sure that we have a strong immune system. And we've talked before about how we do that. We do that by having good nutrition, plenty of exercise, make sure we're drinking a decent amount of water, perhaps even using hot cold therapy and hydrotherapy, making sure that we're getting adequate sunshine, avoiding things that suppress our immune system, getting plenty of fresh air, getting appropriate sleep, and avoiding stress. We'll be keeping